Welcome back to a very, very special edition of Effie Bird and Peter Bird at the Movies, presented by Movie John, who we just got the new magazine from, and we have to build the figurine. There's a figurine.
Yes.
It's awesome. Go to moviejohn.com. Today, we're going to be discussing the classic film set in Footloose, the remake from 2011. Starring dancers and also Miles Teller as Willard.
Yes.
This is a film, and I'll be honest, I actually had a pretty good time watching it with you, but I don't think if I had watched this film on my own that I would have gotten through it.
Yeah. It was entertaining.
We entertained ourselves
maybe
to
not
it
for the right reasons.
Yeah, I think we entertained ourselves to it. Just to run down the list of things this movie features: love, fight dancing, hip hop dancing,
bus drag racing.
Yes,
drag
David
racing
Banner.
With buses. David Banner.
Bullies. Excessive.
Multiple covers done in a country style of popular music.
Very countrified. Also a good bit of homophobia, just for the hell of it. One of my favorite Boston accents ever in cinema. And of course, Dancing with the Stars, star of Dancing with the Stars, Julianne Hough. Where do we begin? Oh, I know where we begin. With a dance party that ends in
death.
Because not only does this film begin with one of the most ruckus barn parties you've ever seen, with every style of dancing, people do dance based on the style of their shoes at the time. Then, while driving to Mama's, there is a horrible truck accident that kills four teens and Bobby. Who, my prediction of the end of the film, I don't want to jump too far ahead. I did predict Bobby would be brought back by the dancing. He was not. Bobby, still very dead.
Very dead.
But that leads to a series of laws being put into place. Are they actual laws?
Actual laws.
By Dennis Quaid, etc. To stop.
Who is not even a lawmaker. He's a fucking pastor.
Well, but you know, you go into the South, and if you're in charge of the church, you're in charge of the law. They said, separate church and state? Are you crazy? We gotta keep people coming to church.
It's a little insight for people that may have watched this film and gone, oh, that's funny. A place where they don't sell alcohol on Sundays. That was us till about 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's still... So when
you can't buy alcohol here before noon on Sundays.
Blue laws.
Because that is... You're supposed to be in church then. I didn't know if you know this. Supposed to be in church.
Beer day and God day are two different days. It says that in the Bible. Is a line from this film that's used.
Yeah.
And if God said it, I don't argue with it. So I do want to give a personal anecdote.
Do you know that verse? The beer day verse?
Philippians 4:13. Through beer, all I can do all things, right? I'm going to give a personal anecdote. When AJ moved to Florida for the first time, one of the first few weeks we were dating, he said, we have to get to the liquor store. Hurry. I said, why? He said, it's almost 7 o'clock. Because in South Carolina, you can only buy hard liquor until 7 p.m.
Oh, shit.
Any day of the week.
Oh, shit.
Because of the Christian laws. So if you don't get your tequila by 7... You're drinking wine, you fucking loser. So we are cut pretty quickly to a funeral where legendary actor of stage and screen Dennis Quaid from the film Frequency,
yeah,
as you brought up, is laying the law down because Bobby has died. Now, I don't want to say that these parents are idiots. It does seem like there's some workarounds being come up with by these older-looking high schoolers.
They have a deal worked out with a diner, who is also the David Banner peddler.
But also, there's a lot of people at the racetrack, and she told her parents that her and Rusty were working on a science project.
But they were at the race.
They were at the racetrack, which, as you mentioned, cars, pretty loud. Music? Pretty loud, too. Now, we are introduced to resident bad boy from the wrong side of the tracks, Boston.
Boston.
And his name is Ren McCormick. And he sometimes has a Boston accent. Occasionally in this film, he does say Ren McCormick. And he remembers he's supposed to have a Boston accent.
Just in case for a second you thought this movie was subtle, there is an actual across on the other side of the railroad line.
Yeah.
While looking at footage of a train.
Yeah. And the train will come back into play later in one of the, I don't know, every scene is absurd. There's a lot to get into. And the problem is, as I say, there's a lot to get into. I want to get into none of it, but we're going to do this. And I hope that the fans at home have, since you chose this film for us to watch,
you've watched it as well.
I hope you've also watched this film, Footloose, starring Ren McCormick. So Ren, turns out Ren's had a little bit of family trouble at home, and it's the worst kind. It's leukemia. Now you're laughing at leukemia, but I do want to say, I thought this was one of the more manageable cancers. I don't want to cancer shame, but like, isn't there a lot of people who overcome leukemia?
No, leukemia is the one that takes you down.
All right. I feel like there's a lot of kids who overcome leukemia. Is it like adults definitely get it?
Yeah.
Bad?
Yeah.
I guess they had to pick kind of a cancer that you could discuss in a way. Like, they couldn't give her ovarian cancer.
Or lung cancer.
Yeah, lung
cancer. Start judging when you hear lung cancer.
Yeah, and then brain cancer, way too dark. Bone cancer, yeah. One of the spookier cancers, but it's hilarious to think about. Your bones have cancer? What are you, a spooky skeleton? So I guess leukemia, a safe bet.
Glad this is behind a paywall.
Craig Brewster said, hold on. Bone cancer? We can't do that, guys. That's hilarious and dark. Let's do leukemia. That one seems, it's the blood. It's like, come on, everybody's got blood. So his mom's dead, and he has to move back with, what's his name? Unky what?
I need to pull up.
He used to call me Unky Jack. Is it Unky Jack?
I think so, but.
You remember you as a kid, you used to call me Unky Jack.
His name in the movie is Wes Warnenicker.
Unky Wes.
Yeah, Unky Wes.
What is his last name?
We
don't have to get into it. So he finds himself, this is the only place he can go, is to Bogert?
It doesn't sound like a real place. Like when you look at the name
is
of the town.
Is it Bogert?
I think it's Beaumont.
Beaumont.
But
what did I call it? Like it's like a go-gurt. Get your Bogert out. No dancing in Bogert.
Sorry to like skip and I have to get this out of my head. When we were watching Aquaman 2 and they're talking about the material that they're stealing and it just has cum at the end of it, I couldn't stop.
What was that material called?
I don't know.
Carcinogen cum.
Yeah, but they don't say cum. They pronounce it differently, but like every time it popped up on screen, it was just something cum.
Carica cum. I don't know. Cumin? Was it cumin?
Yeah.
Cumin cum? Shout out Aquaman 2. The most fun I've had in the theaters in a while.
Can I read some of these lines off?
Yeah, I would love to get a scripting lesson here from Craig Brewster.
Willard, dusting himself off after a bus crash and a bus crash.
A bus crash? These bosses
Sorry,
are
I've been talking all day
You're
long.
Fine. Yeah,
I'm
you've
over-caffeinated.
Been doing real life. We're recording way later than usual, and if you can feel it in our bones, I don't know, I'm pretty fired up.
I just yelled at people all day.
Good. Fuck yeah. Scream at them.
The wheels on the bus go boom, boom, boom.
Excellent.
This is from a Ren. We're just going to call him Ren. I'm not saying any of these last names.
Ren McCormick.
It's country line dancing. It's a white man's wet dream.
He still goes to the learning portion. You boys need to learn some moves.
This is a classic line. After his bus catches fire. And I'm on fire.
You know your bus is on fire. I think that was the next line when they run onto the bus.
What's incredible is people have to go on IMDb. They have to log in with, you know, an email and a password.
Yeah.
And then they have to write this stuff.
Also, if you're Miles Teller, you have to log into IMDb IMDb and pay for a pro account to make sure this isn't one of your top listed films. Because you don't have control over that as an actor. It's just whatever's on there. Which might, you know, you should go check out my IMDb page sometime. Pretty good stuff. It's all wrestling and then the cartoon I did for Netflix. But it exists. I've at least conquered that. I've conquered IMDb. I feel good about it. What Oscars? Did this win any Oscars?
I don't think so.
I mean, this is a star-studded cast, number one. Andy McDowell, who we just saw in 30 Rock, number two. Number three, Jamal Simmons did all the choreography.
Something that you kept mentioning. As
Jamal
we
Simmons, one of the greatest choreographers of our time, who you may recognize from Have You Seen Anybody on Tour recently? Probably Jamal Simmons. And also RuPaul's Drag Race. He's been on there a lot of times.
Oh, okay. I thought you were fucking with me.
No. Jamal Sims, not Simmons. I'm sorry. Choreography maven Jamal Sims has been featured on RuPaul's Drag Race many times teaching the girls choreography. And they're always like, Jamal Sims gave us the hardest choreography. So I don't think it was easy for anyone to learn. But we do learn, not only is Ren McCormick a wizard with a car, he can build cars. He's like, shouldn't I work at the car shop? And they're like, no, you're going to work at the cotton gin, which is still a thing in the year 20, whatever year this
is. Okay, can we? So his 2011 started with Big Mamas, Like Father, Like Son.
Oh, yeah. The sequel to Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then two episodes of RuPaul's Drag University, Drag U.
Oh, yeah. Drag U is teaching the girls.
And then Footloose, the movie we watched.
Of course.
And then Jack and Jill, starring Mr. Andy Sandman.
Dunkachino! Don't you want a Dunkachino? Yeah, how many times a week would you say that you watch the Al Pacino Dunkachino song?
This exists?
What?
This
You've
is
never
real?
Seen the Dunkachino song?
With Al Pacino?
Oh my God. You've never seen Jack and Jill.
I've never seen Jack and Jill.
All right, I'm just going to say.
I took a hard out on Sandberg at a certain point.
Sandler.
Sandler. Okay. Fuck. Wow.
All right, it's only 50 seconds, so I really don't give a shit. If we're talking about great films, let's talk about
Jack
and Jill.
I think Mr. Deeds is the last Sandler I've seen, other than like Uncut Gems.
Wait, Mr. Deeds?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic. We're talking about this era.
Oh, my God.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk. Dunkachino? Don't mind if I do. What's my name? Dunkachino.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I just want to say the plot of this movie is that Adam Sandler's character is trying to work out a deal with Dunkin' Donuts and Al Pacino falls in love with Jill, and so he has to kind of navigate her being in love with Al Pacino and Al Pacino really loving Jill, even though he can't stand Jill, and it forces them to work together.
Wow.
What's my name? Dunkachino. People say Robert De Niro. The characters become De Niro, and people say with Al Pacino, he becomes the characters, and you can tell that man became Dunkachino. And it's weird that it's not Dunk Pacino because it's.
But he's playing himself. He's playing.
Yeah,
Al Pacino.
He's playing Al Pacino.
Dunkachino.
I know you did it. It's just a line in the middle up there. Footloose. Shout out Jamal Sims for working. On the, what seems, I'm going to put two and two together. Jamal Sims did the choreography for the Dunkachino commercial.
I believe so.
You can tell in the choreo from Footloose, pretty similar. So children are dead. There's laws. Ren McCormick just came into town. He's learning the ways of the system. He gets a ticket.
For music.
And then he's introduced at church, this church service. there's no mention of any beliefs or Jesus or God. It's just like, remember when you used to have to go to the bank and you get a piece of bubble gum? Remember those days? We got to go back to that.
He does talk quite a bit about bazooka bubble gum.
Yes, and just like, it used to be better before this time, and there's no like, and that's why God would want us to bless him, and like, that's why God died for our sins.
It sounds like your grandfather when like he's about to leave.
He's just riffing on, yeah, like, you remember they used to give us the right to vote and kept it from the women. And the women clap at that. And Andy McDowell's like, mm-hmm. So I don't want to get too deep into this, but there's no Jesus discussed. Clearly.
No. They do quote Bible verses, though.
Later.
And Bibles are given.
That's where Bobby used to sit. There's a big confrontation that's coming. Either way. Okay, so Footloose. So everybody is not, at this point, Footloose. That's one of the main issues Rim McCormick has, because... Now, he doesn't have any professed dance experience, but he was on the gymnastics
team. He was on the gymnastics team.
Which is why the race car driver drops homophobic slurs on him. Because he's not happy that he's hitting on Ariel. No, Ariel.
Okay, there's a really weird scene where he tells a lie about having a threesome and then goes, I'm just fucking with you.
I don't even remember this. Who told this story?
Ren.
Okay. What was he
went to Russia and he went dancing.
Uh-huh.
And he's trying to explain what dancing means, and then he lies and says that he has a threesome with these two Russian girls.
So it was two women.
Yeah. Because remember he goes, Russians the women are either tens or they have beards.
Yeah. That's called a man. I've dated a lot of women. They're called men. If that's the... So he had a threesome with two women from his gymnast
team.
He didn't.
He just danced.
In Russia. But he was on the gymnast team.
Okay. He loves to dance, though.
Dancing is in his heart.
I love how they outlaw dancing and the only alternative is to, like, run cars into each other.
Yeah, and I just want to say by his selection of music, I've never seen anyone dance like that to, like, Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
You know,
fair.
I don't...
Fair.
It's more
also,
like...
the other thing, too, is after seeing Hot Rod, that the dramatic dance sequence just makes me laugh at this point.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with watching any music biopic now. Like watching,
you just think of Walk Hard,
right? Like watching Elvis after Walk Hard, you're just like, oh, he's just doing Dewey Cox. I feel like you should have to study Walk Hard to not just go like, but I get to keep my monkey, right? Because that was all of Elvis for me. I don't know, Priscilla, what a film. Don't fuck kids, but these kids are not 30-year-olds. These are age-appropriate high schoolers, right?
It was originally going to be Zac Efron in the lead role.
Well. He made the right choice, because I think Baywatch came out the same year.
I believe so.
So I think he did the right move in not doing this film and leaving it for this dancer. Now, this guy hasn't done a lot since then, has he? Not like he's popping up everywhere.
No, he is mostly just a dancer.
Us.
So Craig Brewer was the guy that did Hustle and Flow, which is
read this list of movies, because... This blew my world last night. You were like, here's the other movies Craig Brewster's done. And he's a white guy who's bald with a beard. I just want to say that before we get into this. No offense to Craig Brewster. Just this set of films doesn't read like
okay,
that.
Okay, so the filmography of Craig Brewer.
Is it Brewer?
Mispronouncing the fuck out of stuff tonight. So just strap in. Okay, so he started with Hustle and Flow, and then his next film was Black Snake Moan.
Yep.
Followed by Footloose remake, and then I guess he just does Eddie Murphy stuff now, because he did Dolomite Is My Name, and then the Coming to America sequel.
I mean, once you get in with Eddie Murphy, you may as well stick there. But so he's not doing Beverly Hills Cop 4?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that looks like a pretty fun ride, a thrill ride, if you will. Craig Brewer, I don't know. Brewster's has 31 flavors, and Craig only has about three, which is Footloose and vaguely Black Films. I don't know the third flavor yet.
Okay, so it was... Zac Efron was originally cast, but he did not want people to think that all he could do was sing and dance. So instead, he starred in Charlie St. Cloud.
Yeah, that's a bad movie about a dead ghost baby brother thing.
Well,
I don't know. Did you see Charlie St. Cloud?
No.
Now that I'm thinking about it, pretty fun film. I mean, not fun, but like, good job, Zach, I think.
Juliana, is it Hugh Ho?
I've always heard Huff.
Huff.
Which is a weird pronunciation of that spelling.
No, I think you're actually right. Because the only reason I know her is that I dated a ballroom dance teacher for 6 years.
Oh, yeah. That's she would know who Julianne Hough is.
Beat out Amanda Bynes, Miley Cyrus, and Hayden Panettiere.
That sounds like a thing you say when, like, you write on the audition list all of those names and they didn't contact them. You're just like, oh, I guess you beat them all. Who else? Well, we had these people scheduled, but no one showed up.
So Miles Teller played his character on his high school musical version of Footloose.
Can I ask a question that's appropriate, but it's going to sound inappropriate for me? How old was Miles Teller in this?
Because
he looks young.
He really does. So the reason that, what is his name? Kenny Wormald? The reason he was in this was because he was a backup dancer for Timberlake.
Ah.
And Timberlake recommended him.
Well, you know what we say in this house? Britney Spears is right. That's all we got to say. We're looking at Miles Teller's age at this point.
Mercury retrograde is kicking.
Retrograde. It's about to be. What's the opposite of retrograde?
Direct.
It's about to be direct.
It's about to station direct.
Station direct.
Mm-hmm. If we want to be real astrological.
I mean, we should. I look who I'm with. I don't want to be wrong about these things.
Just because I want to say something positive that's happening in my life right now. I started an astrology program that I've been waiting about a year to get into.
Yeah.
And it's been fucking incredible so far. I like really can't get it's like, it feels like it's not homework. It feels like I am doing something I actually want to be doing.
I think it's good to have something in your life right now that isn't your job, because you come home sometimes and I hear things and I go, you know, I don't think this is your destiny. I don't think this is the destiny for you. So when you told me this, it made me very happy and excited, because it felt like this is a new positive step of your journey.
Yeah. I can't. So Miles Teller's 36. So in 2011, he would have been
24.
24.
That's not that young.
No.
Okay, good.
Kind of baby.
Yeah, he's got the Miles Teller face baby thing. This is a baby version of him. He kind of popped off a little before this with some weird party film, right?
Let's see.
This isn't like a first round go. They did sort of sell his name in this Footloose sequel, like he was a bigger cast, but he plays the lovable goofball best friend Willard
that doesn't want to dance.
Well, he actually can't dance, come to find out. I want to discuss one of the weirdest scenes in this whole movie, which is after calling Ren McCormick the homophobic slur that he does because he's mad that he's trying to have sex with Julianne Hough, which I feel like those two things don't line up, other than he's feeling sexually intimidated by Ren McCormick as well. He gets on a tractor, drives it at him, and then drives it 3 feet over and gets off the tractor to present the buses for the bus race, where they're going to see who the real man is by racing these buses in a figure eight. You go too fast, you might hit the loser. You go too slow, you might get hit. You got to know when to brake. You got to know when to go. And also, there are somehow four people into racing buses, including Ren McCormick, who has his own bus, but it's not like everyone else's bus, which are specifically patterned to their personalities.
The thing he did before Footloose was Rabbit Hole, a movie with Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart.
Love her.
That looks like the only significant thing before.
What year was X?
Project X, that was the next year. That was 2012.
Okay, so this is real early on Miles Teller.
Yeah.
All right, good for him. First, one of the first big roles with Nicole Kidman, and then he gets to redo his high school theater acting. That's fantastic work from his agent. Give me a call. I can dance like a little bit. Wrestling is like, it's like a dancing a little bit. Everybody cut loose, a foot loose, kick out your Sunday shoes. That's Kenny Loggins said the original. He did not participate in the film, nor did Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon said that, nah, I'm good, but he gave it his blessing.
Do you think him and Dennis Quaid ever talk? They've been around each other before, right?
I mean, Kevin Bacon, it is
six degrees of Kevin Bacon. But you don't think Quaid called him and was like, dude, just got this script for a Footloose remake. You seen it? And he's like, yeah, I'm not doing that shit.
Has Dennis Quaid starred in a film with Kevin Bacon?
Uh-oh.
Oh, just Footloose came up again.
Everybody could lose.
Switchback, 1997.
Wow, so they're probably tight buds.
Dennis Quaid, Danny Glover.
Wow. Danny Glover could have been in this? All right, so here's another complaint I have, speaking of Danny Glover.
Jared Leto, William Fichtner.
This sounds
Walton Goggins. Like, what is this
film? We're watching this film. Vote for this film.
I think Kevin Bacon's actually in this.
All right. Well, Kevin Bacon enjoyed it. So they make him work at a cotton gin. It helps him get out of his ticket. Why did we make the choice to have one of the very few black characters in charge of the cotton gin? And also, who's got a cotton gin anymore? This seems like a pretty self-mechanical thing.
This is getting into... I'm not even going to say a problem because it honestly made the movie more enjoyable to watch. Fucking what year is this set in?
What? Yeah, this is the big question.
What
I saw your Letterboxd
is this
review.
Set? Like, is this like an alternate? Like, have we did like, I don't know, was Bill Clinton not president and that's how we got this reality? Is it something like that?
I think it's somewhere between 1980 and 2016.
Oh, Quaaludes. Quaaludes were never invented.
In the reality where Quaaludes were never illegal, we just left
Quaaludes. That actually makes more
sense. We left Quaaludes everywhere. Dennis Quaalude stars in Footloose.
God damn it.
So, now the dancing's banned, obviously, in this town, but there is still dancing going on.
Oh, I thought you said dancing's bad, and I agree.
You didn't want them to succeed?
I felt the dancing was the weakest part of the movie.
Well, this is what I'm getting to is they go to this diner where I guess everybody's allowed to dance because the guy who owns the diner, the only two adults that are down with the dancing are the black
adults.
Yeah,
our David Banner dealer.
Yeah, he deals CDs on the side and he also knows David Banner and then plays David Banner over the speaker for everyone to dance in a circle. And the dancing that we get, now I understand 2011, different time. Not only is everyone crumping, the country people are also really into the crumping.
Yeah.
Like there's no racial divide between like, well, we like to do this dance and we do this dance. And we saw at the beginning, everybody dances based on their shoe type. If you have a Chuck Taylor, you do a rock dance. If you have cowboy boots, you do a cowboy dance. And then some people do different, there's different dancing. But everybody gets in on the crumping. And then Julianne Hough gets in and starts pole dancing on the speaker.
Yeah.
And then they go from dancing. Rin McCormick does like, I don't want to say it's just like a white boy's interpretation of what he thinks breakdancing is kind of. But then they just cut to not doing the dancing anymore. And they just start humping on each other.
Yeah.
In front of the country driver who's also there. There's nothing else to do in this town. But go to the diner where the dancing happens. But somehow it's a surprise that the dancing's happening there when Dennis Quaid rolls up.
Yes.
Like, this is just like, hey, every kid in town is going to the diner. What are they doing there? I guess eating hot dogs. And no one questions it further until Dennis, because it seems like this has been going on a while.
Yeah.
And then Dennis Quaid shows up and he's like, what the fuck under my nose.
Yeah. Yeah, because he shows up under the pretense of, you don't have money.
Yeah, yeah, you needed this $10. Mm-hmm. I rode all the
for
way
hot dogs
to the diner. What were you going to do? Just watch everyone else eat glizzies? No way. And then he realizes, and everybody kind of scrambles like the police have showed up. But the police were there earlier. And he was like, let me know when the cops leave. Did the police not notice the speaker system set up throughout the parking
not.
Lot?
I guess not.
It was... It just seems like, and I don't want to be like too intellectual of a film goer, and we've watched a lot of Oscar picks, you know, SAG award-winning films this season. But also, Aquaman 2 was equally made by dumb people and made a little more sense. And I don't want to keep poking holes in the logic of this film because I want to say like, well, it's not made for me. I'm a 33-year-old man. But then I go, who the fuck is it made for?
Yeah.
Is this supposed to be like teens are supposed to be like, we want to relive a reality where Footloose is made for us. Like, we love the concept of Footloose. We're not watching old people movies. Or is this like, honey, you saw their remake in our favorite movie from 1986,
no,
Footloose?
No, absolutely not.
Are they assuming people are going into this movie without any concept of a previous Footloose? Is that their hopes? Let's get gritty. Let's see. I want to see budget to box office on this.
I am going to poke more holes in it. Who is running the bus drag racing operation? Because those things are outfitted.
They're outfitted. They're obvious. And
there's themes.
Like you said, the race car driving is much more dangerous than the dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And no one had the discussion after the children die in a car wreck that... car racing might be dangerous,
yeah.
But also everyone was hammered.
Yeah.
They were all seen drinking from cups and kegs. No one's like, we have to stop underage drinking specifically, which leads to dancing and dangerous behavior. It's just the dancing and fun. And I guess if you're drinking, do it quietly and don't dance. It's never discussed that underage drinking may be a problem when the five children die in a head-on collision with a truck on the way to the bar. All right, I'm pulling up the box office mojo here.
Okay, I fucking loved whoever it was, his boyfriend, where they're like, no, honey, you've had too much to smoke. And he's like stumbling around.
You'll
like
never tell me when I have too much to smoke. You don't know when I've had enough marijuana, which is clearly very dangerous and makes me angry to drive this bus.
For as much as I think they did their best to make it a very racially diverse cast, there was some slander thrown at the stoners in this movie.
Yeah, they do try to set him up with marijuana, mm-hmm. And he's like, I didn't even have the marijuana. I'm tested all the time for my gymnast team, which, can I say something, Peter?
Mm-hmm. It's your podcast.
Gymnasts
you can say
fuck
whatever
guys,
you want.
A lot of them.
True.
Okay. Now, I know with like male cheerleaders, there's two types of male cheerleaders. The ones that are really strong and can pick women up. Wink, wink, pick women up. And then homosexuals. All right. This isn't new ground here. But gymnasts are, can I use the word the race car driver used? No, I won't do it. Gymnasts are usually pretty easy to convince into bed. That's how I'll put it.
We had a male cheerleader at my high school,
yeah,
who ripped through the female and male population while he was there.
I think I had sex with both a male and female cheerleader in college. It was an exploratory time for me. And I'll tell you what, let's go team. This film made $63 million on a $24 million budget.
Damn.
So it made
Frank
its money
Brewer.
Back. It more
okay.
than doubled it. I imagine with marketing costs, you know, it was like a little less than double. But like this film made money, but $63 million, still not a lot to make. But $24 million, not a huge budget.
Not a huge budget.
They filmed it here in Georgia, mm-hmm. in, what do we say, Colquitt maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere, I don't know. They filmed it near here.
There is one scene where they go to like a country line dancing bar.
Right.
That was up in Kennesaw. It's now closed.
Okay. You did the research on this because you're like, where is this?
Because yeah.
They showed like big city lights. And then we don't know where any line dancing would be in Atlanta.
Exactly.
And then I told you I used to go line dancing when I first moved to Florida and was still drinking,
mm-hmm.
and I would get hammered with my Christian friends and go line dancing. I can't say whether or not they were drinking as heavily as me, but I'll tell you what, I was fucking sloshed while I was line dancing, and I was in all sorts of trouble. That's what I'll say.
I was doing the exact opposite in high school and was going to Mormon line dances.
This is so fascinating to me that you were in the same like moral groundings as the Mormons.
I was involved in a Mormon love triangle when I was in high school.
What the fuck, Peter? Mm-hmm. Where did we? I wanted to say we should talk more, but we talk more than anyone. So Mormon love triangle, that sounds...
I went to Mormon prom. I got on the news for Mormon prom because they were astonished that a non-Mormon would go to Mormon prom.
I heard when you die, every Mormon gets their own prom. I'm disgusted.
We could we'll touch on that later. It's a
soaking.
Whole thing.
You're familiar with soaking?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to have a soaking buddy to sit on your bed. Everybody loves soaking.
I won't go into any further, but my best Mormon friend was about to go off to his mission. I kept telling him he was going to get Iceland because, you know, they don't get to pick where they go. He got Australia.
Oh, that
and
sounds lovely.
He came back super fucking gay and not Mormon anymore.
Yeah, I could see that.
He like shaved his head as like a cross.
A beautiful
earring.
Tan.
Yeah.
Just like, so yeah, funny. I mean, down under, it's a little different. Let me tell you this. I wasn't having to teach people about receiving God's love. I was receiving love myself from sex.
When he got back, I was like, you're looking a little bit lighter. There's some missing undergarments, I do believe.
Yeah, they don't have like a magic jockstrap, do they? That seems out of the realm of the Mormons. Now, I know a lot about Mormon faith.
Do you not know about their magic underwear?
Oh, I know about their magic underwear. I'm just saying, for the gays, they should move into having magic jockstraps. Just to like, you know, you want people to stay on board. You know, 1978, they admit black people aren't necessarily demons. And then now, 2023, they admit like,
straps.
Yeah, the magical garments could also be a jock. Leave that thing open for the Lord. I don't know. There's a lot of Mormon gay porn. I don't know if you're familiar. A lot of Mormon gay porn.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of like, oh, elder, we're on this mission together and we're so lonely. We've been walking the streets for days. Take off your magic undergarments.
Oh, my God.
You'd think the Mormons would step in and be like, hey, guys, that's a holy thing for us. But really, I think they just let... It seems like it's doubling sales and they're not really complaining about... They're like, I don't know. The margins are pretty good on these magic underwear. We better keep selling it. This guy doesn't look Mormon, but looks like he's using a lot of them.
Okay.
Rip off my undergarments. Footloose. So the cotton gin comes back into play where when he... He's been in trouble in school. He's, you know, had a failure of a bus race where his bus explodes. I guess in the middle of this, you know, everybody's starting to get a little disappointed in his Yankee sarcasm. And he goes and takes the Beetle that he's turned into a rockin' raging car. And he goes into the cotton gin and he does the angriest dance gymnast routine. And it was... I just want to say one of the gayest things I've ever seen. It was so deeply, because it's not like he was just like, you know, like you can angry dance and it's like an expressive version.
Uh-huh.
But this was angry dancing, but there were too many extra steps that were like,
yeah.
And then it was like, step down, step over, move the leg. Now I'm going to run. And it was like those little extra steps in there, which I'm sure to Jamal Sims, dance professional choreographer, made it look angry to him. All I could see was like, I'm so angry. All I could do is bottom. But really, he's straight. We know he's straight. Rim McCormick is a straight character. But boy, he is ripping at those tight denims. And his when he does his six perfect pirouettes on top of the VW Beetle and then falls into the garbage pail of boxes because he's too exhausted. I knew then that he hadn't figured it out yet.
So is that why Juliana Ho comes in or Huff, whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing?
She was watching the whole time. When he gyrates himself across the chain rope zip line,
because
it's like it won't move on its own. He has to keep gyrating it to get down. And then he hits the ground and like kind of humps it. And then she walks out of the shadows and she's like, what's up? And he's like, that was personal. And she's like, nothing's personal here. People are always watching you in a small town. It was just like, I don't know. It felt like dancers maybe speaking a different language than us. Good for them.
Okay, so then we have like the whole sequence with like after they go to Atlanta to go to the Country Line dance place that isn't actually there. And then it's like a bunch of shit of teaching Miles Teller how to dance.
Yes, there are a lot of sequences of teaching Miles how to dance. And also the 6-year-old children, I'm going to guess 6. I don't know children's ages. They all know how to dance and know perfect choreography. Mm-hmm.
Every word of every song that's playing.
What song is this? It's not another version of I Need a Hero. Because there's about 4 versions of I Need a Hero in this. There's an instrumental, there's a country, there's a rock. They never play the real one. Like they paid enough to license the version of the song, but not the song.
Well, I'm trying to find the music.
I know, it's a song. And they teach him the choreography to this specific song, which then is not performed at a later time.
Okay, we have Holding Out for a Hero, Dance the Night Away, Fake ID. Let's Hear It for the Boy. That's the song they all know.
Yeah, okay. So they do a full choreography sequence to Let's Hear It for the Boy. Like you said, there are large chunks of this film. Here's the two things that are going to be argumentative. There are large chunks of this film clearly missing. Like there was stuff.
Oh my god! Yes.
Like there are jumps,
introductions of characters that all of a sudden are like, "Oh, this is your best friend. I don't think we've met him
before."
And then,
oh, they're dating now. We don't like.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff like that, but also it feels like by the time they get to, we have to fight the power and try to get them to unband dancing, and we're gonna have a dance protest.
Yeah, so they start, he starts making a petition.
This is the part of the film where I went, did they not have enough film to where they had to really make this sequence long? Because there's a pretty long montage of them dancing while setting up a dance protest.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. It fails, right?
Objectively,
it fails. Side note, in the same time, not only is Julianne Hough punched in the face by the race car driver. She's also punched in the face by Dennis Quaid.
By her father.
And he's like, I never hit women. And Andy McDowell's like, well, you did. But then immediately defends him like, I know you're just doing what you think is right.
Yeah.
I know you're just trying to protect her by whipping her across the mouth.
Like,
after
got,
she came in with a black eye. She got clocked and has
she
a black eye.
Fucked
and
up.
He slaps her again in the church because she's mad. Because she's like, ever since Bobby died, my life has been miserable. And
there is a scene later where, what's his face? The main character apologizes for cursing in the church. And Dennis Quaid goes, no, it's okay. Like, almost is like, yeah, I hit my daughter
things.
Here yesterday.
And also Dennis Quaid gets confused because he sat in the same seat that Bobby sat in. So this is after it gets turned down at council. He's like, let me go talk to him. And he makes an impassioned dance plea.
Okay, that's probably why you kept feeling that the brother was going to pop up somewhere.
Right.
Because the brother probably did pop up somewhere and they cut it.
Yeah, it felt like the dancing was going to bring Bobby back. Maybe not all the other characters. I do also want to say the girl in the car that died, with brown curly hair, looked exactly like Rusty, to the point where I thought, are we going to have a reveal that Rusty is imaginary?
Yeah.
And she's been trying to cope with the grief. But no, not that dense of a film. Just two women that look pretty alike.
Do you want to shout out Queen of the World, Kim Dickens, the lovely police officer for my favorite movie of all time, Gone Girl?
Gone Girl.
I don't know why I love this. It's probably not good that I love this movie as much
I mean,
as I do.
We've all wanted to slit Neil
it's
Patrick Harris's
so
throat.
Comforting to watch, though. I don't know what it is. It just lulls me right to sleep.
Is it because of Rose McGowan? Not Rose McGowan. Rose Byrne?
Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike. Yes. Is it because of Rosamund Pike?
Probably.
Or is it because Ben Affleck looks defeated the entire film?
It is one of the best uses of Ben Affleck in all of cinema.
And
the first time I watched it, I watched it again immediately after. I told you this, and you were like, is that one of those movies to do that with? Like,
is that, should you, are you okay? Are you all right? Yeah, just sad idiot Ben Affleck wandering the screen the whole time.
That movie is the cigarette photo.
What do you mean?
You know, the photo of him standing outside smoking a cigarette, looking like he is the entire weight of the world on his shoulders.
Okay.
That is what Gone Girl
is. Encapsulate that. Mm-hmm. He got that big back tattoo. Is it a phoenix or a dragon? We've discussed
it's a phoenix.
Rising from the ashes. I wish they would have just let him put on the Batman suit one time in Gone Girl. Like, and he just walks out and he's like, you know, I have secrets too. And she's like, go back inside. You're going to kiss me on the lips. You're going to be happy. I'm home. You're going to shut the fuck up. And he's like, but you know, I have a, you know, I'm the Batman. She's like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. The sad man.
I am sad. So we have the Bible.
The Bible. Does he give him a Bible? Did I miss this?
She gives him her childhood Bible with verses outlined in there for him to use in his court testimony.
Yes, where he quotes the Bible and the mamas and the papas within 2 minutes of each other. Doesn't he say, and this line's from the mamas and the papas?
Hang on, because IMDb has the whole speech.
Oh, wow.
Is there anything else that we're missing?
Yeah, we're going to get to the confetti disaster. And also, me yelling before the final scene, what happened to the race car driver who punched her in the face? Which what happened was battle in the dirt, and the dirt does not stay on his beautiful maroon jacket. We'll get there.
Okay, no, he does not mention the fact that it is the mamas and the papas.
I thought he did. I thought he said, and also from the mamas and the papas, a time to turn, a time to change, and a time to dance. I don't know.
I think he, the Bible.
Is that biblical?
Yeah, it's biblical.
Oh, okay, well, fuck him. Plagiarism's cool if you steal it from God. Stephen Curtis Chapman, you piece of shit. Too dark?
I mean,
Who would win in a fight, me or Stephen Curtis Chapman?
I don't know. Is he driving his car?
No, no, no. Oh, did he kill somebody?
Yeah, his
Hell
child.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
He ran over his toddler in their driveway. You didn't
the
know
Lord
this?
Works in mysterious ways, Stephen Curtis Chapman.
He wrote like a whole album about
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really dark.
Who's the other guy from Cream that killed a baby too, or his child died? In the pool.
From Cream?
Yeah, and he wrote that song. Eric Clapton.
Okay.
Is Stephen Curtis Chapman the Eric Clapton of Christian music?
Probably.
Hell
Probably.
Yeah. They should do a song together.
I didn't
called
know that about
Oops.
Clapton.
Oh, yeah, it's that what's the teardrop song?
Yeah.
What's this? Well, you know what I'm talking about?
And sort of.
Where he's like, tears that I cry. Hold on. Hey Siri, what's that Eric Clapton song about the dead kid?
Following the death of his son Connor in 1991,
and the teardrops from heaven,
which appeared on his unplugged
album. When you know my name, fuck Eric Clapton though, conservative piece of shit. Fuck Eric Clapton.
Fuck
Stephen Curtis Chapman. And fuck every member of DC Talk.
Yeah.
Like, have sex with them. They're also fucking hot and horny.
What about, do you remember Michael W. Fox?
Michael W. Smith.
Yeah. I'm getting the two confused.
Yeah. You remember Jars of Clay?
Yes.
Who was the one who got a divorce and everybody's like, we're not into her anymore? Amy Grant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd fuck Amy Grant.
Yeah. Do you remember B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth?
Oh, God, no, this sounds horrible.
This was a really bad song. Ugh. It's very dramatic.
I remember having to put on the armor of God, and it felt like, you really need a suit of armor, dude, if you got all the powers? I gotta put on a whole fucking armor suit? Come on, dude, let's condense this.
Okay, well, fuck. Okay, where are we?
Doesn't matter. We're at the end.
Okay.
So not only is this guy run the gin, the cotton gin, he then lets us know that the whole film has been for no fucking reason.
Because
the gin actually is on a different city, and the line is right there, and we're in a different city. Dancing and music isn't banned over here. You didn't know that? So they decide they're going to have their school prom without teachers involved, with just the guy from the diner and the cotton gin as the adults at this cotton gin, because it was allowed the whole time and nobody had to.
So correct me if I'm wrong, no legislature was actually changed.
No, they didn't change anything. But Dennis Quaid did give his fatherly permissions for everyone to have fun at the dance as long as they were safe, because he couldn't do anything about it. They're going to walk across the street and be in another town, and there's no law there.
A lot of slut shaming in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, every time that Dennis Quaid goes, like, "You're not good enough for my daughter," everyone's like, "Your daughter's a piece of shit slut. Like, we're not taking her seriously."
She did set consent lines with the race car driver, but...
And then broke them immediately.
Yeah, well, it was her choice. And also, don't punch women in the face unless they punch you first.
And don't slut shame.
And don't slut shame.
My goodness.
God, you're going to let her walk out of the house in those Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots and be surprised when multiple suitors are coming for her beautiful body? I thought she was older in the film. She was only 23 when this was filmed. She is 35 now. She's aged beautifully. But I always thought she was older than that. So my apologies to Julianne Hough. Don't hang out on the side of a car. So they have the big dance. There's a huge brawl in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty says, Willard, don't have a fight. And then they fight him. And then she's like, "But they fought you, just fight him." There's a whole hootenanny. I feel like that's the right term for this. They all get beat up and then they go back to dancing. And Willard and Rim McCormick do a dance bit together where Willard, not any of the practice moves come up, but he now can break dance pretty dramatically well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all dance to Footloose by Kenny Chesney? Blake Shelton?
Blake Shelton, yeah.
Everybody cut a loose, a foot of loose, covering the song for cash. Why do they know this song? What fucking year is that? Nobody knows. Nobody knows any years.
Then confetti falls from the ceiling.
And I guess they had to reuse the confetti. It gets shot out of the cotton gin.
Yes.
Which seems like it's going to fuck the property up.
Probably.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter at that point.
I don't know. At this point, they're probably turning that place into a wedding venue because it just looked like every Georgia wedding venue.
Footloose!
But when they're making the movie, the confetti was too heavy and it just fell like down and it wasn't big and dramatic. The wind didn't carry it at all. So they had to order different confetti. There was a confetti shortage.
There was a confetti shortage, yes.
And they had to reuse the confetti, and that apparently that scene just kept doing over and over and over again. And so they just had this like dirty, nasty, grimy, sweaty confetti.
Mm. Ooh, look what and it was metallic there. Too, so it definitely showed. Yeah. We might have to go back and watch that. But then the crowning achievement of this movie is it ends on a freeze frame.
Okay. They didn't really commit to the freeze. They're like, freeze frame.
Yeah.
And then credits.
I thought that's how freeze frame worked.
Freeze frames, you're supposed to hold it for a little bit. We're pausing on this moment. You do a little jumpy kick in the air, freeze frame. But you got to hold it till you get to the bumbly, bumbly, bumbly.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It was freeze frame pretty immediate done.
If you're going to freeze frame, commit to the freeze frame.
Which brings up again, what fucking year is it? I'm even thinking back to the diner. There are 1950s film posters
yes.
in the diner. No year makes sense.
But people are using iPods and aux cords.
But they do say
but then
David
there's
Banner.
A flip phone at one because someone tries to get like
so
an upskirt shot.
So it's at least after 1997.
Yes.
But there's no other indication.
Again.
And maybe it's meant to.
Quaaludes.
Quaaludes are legal.
Somehow
in this
they factor into this.
And nobody remember. It feels like somebody should be like, isn't this like the Kevin Bacon film Footloose? But there's no existence of that film in this universe. Like, it ignores that happening.
Yeah.
Does Kevin Bacon not exist in this universe? Quaaludes are legal and Kevin Bacon is not?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Who would have guessed? 10 out of 10. Just one of the best films I've ever seen in my whole life. I want to say this. I've seen roughly 4,000 films over the past 4 weeks, and this was one of them.
Do you know what your actual number is on Letterboxd for the year?
No, and here's this is the... You already know what makes me anxious about Letterboxd, okay?
Everything.
Because I started in the middle of the year. I started 33 years into watching film.
Well, if you would have listened to me and gotten the account...
It still would have been the same... you know what I mean?
So I have 128 for this year.
I don't. When did I even start?
Oh no, I have 135 for this year.
Now hold on, because I think I reviewed some films that I didn't watch this year.
It'll tell you.
I definitely didn't review every film I watched this year. This is just disappointing. What is this number? There's a fraction.
Yeah, so it'll be like total, and then so like I have 149, but only 135, only 135 for this year, because I really didn't start until
okay.
this year.
Mine says 228 over 154 this
year. Damn.
But I started. When did I even start this account? Is it going to tell me when I started the fucking account? That's what I would like to know. That's what I would like to fucking know. God, tell me. Just. Tell me. I'm not inputting this. If you follow me on there, please like my films. Someone said, oh, have you seen my Letterboxd reviews? I haven't seen shit. All right. I haven't even put up my favorite films on there. Okay.
What are your four faves? Do your four faves.
No,
right
I'm not
now.
Doing that.
Do your four faves.
You want me to pick my four
yeah,
favorite films?
You're on the red carpet right now.
Film is
You've
a
got
collection
a microphone shoved in your face.
Film is a collection
Pick
of perspectives.
Four films.
Film is a collection
Pick four
of perspectives.
Films. Pick four films.
I'm not picking four films. I'm not doing it. The Kevin Costner classic, I don't know.
You know what mine are.
Yeah,
Bo is
you're
afraid.
Listed, you've listed them.
Gone Girl, mm-hmm. Paddington 1, Paddington 2.
I'm fucking sick. I'm sick. Ugh. Why won't it tell me when I started this account? Why won't it just say, here's the fucking day you signed up? This is bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. All right. Please follow me on there. If you're on the Patreon, you know you know my name. And he knows my name. You remember that song? And he knows my every thought. And he hears each dream. Something. It's a Jesus song.
Yeah, I figured.
Passion of the Christ 2, coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson still believes the Catholic Church is a false Catholic Church created in addition to the real Catholic Church. Saw that rant. Anti-Semite.
I'm watching 30 Coins right now and tracks, according to that show.
One thing you told me about 30 Coins was the evil objects and the spear of that pierced Christ's side.
The spear of Longinus.
And you said that Hitler actually got the real spear that pierced Christ's side. Christus, that's not how you say it. I just want to say, Hitler, you got fucking played. That they put a spear together and they were like, oh, Hitler, look, this is the real spear from Christ. This is fantastic. I just want to say I haven't finished Zone of Interest because it just made me so sad. I would rewatch
I'm
it
sure.
with you if you wanted to, but it was.
I'm going to do it.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, it's what a beautiful, peaceful, serene film with babies and gunshots screaming in the background.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels important right now because like we have our own backyard that's screaming at the moment.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I turned it off at the garden tour.
It's what's beautiful about cinema is because we can have Aquaman 2, but we can also have stuff like this that is, you know,
it's a series of perspectives.
But you should sit with it.
This is why watching movies makes you a better citizen of the earth in the same way that traveling does. Because
and psychedelics
because you are able to see things through a different lens than your own, and those things in movies are self-contained stories that have something to tell you, and all films are valid. Footloose, possibly more valid than all of them. If you ban dancing, more children will die. When nobody died really
in the beginning, they did,
but after they banned dancing, they actually kept everyone safe, right?
Yes.
So here's the big question. Band dancing?
Band dance, okay.
All right, we're both in.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll have a regular mini-show next week. And Happy New Year, motherfucker.
Happy New Year.